This is the Miguel Show Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor. Oh, I sound weird.
Oh.
Hello, I'm Holly O'Connor. Is it? And wait a minute. Put the other mic on.
Wait.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Holly O'Connor. Hi. Hello. It's
there me. We go. And who do we have over there?
I am Producer Jared.
Producer Jared.
Yes.
Is leaving.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh.
I mean, damn.
I have a feeling we won't be able to talk about it a whole lot on the show, so I figure we can spend some time here.
Sure, why not?
So you're leaving us?
I am. My last day with the show is pretty much the end of this month coming up.
So we have officially 2 weeks starting on Friday with you.
Yes.
Where are you going? Why are you quitting? Why are you punching us in the face? Why are you basically lobbing off my penis?
Wow. Oh, okay, that's traumatic.
That's a little much. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going up to Atlanta. I was offered a position with a marketing company. So actually, I'm taking a job outside of radio follow the money, almost, you could say, at the moment.
Well, you need some money sometimes to live, but you're really stressed out about this, I know.
I am. Leaving radio is not what I wanted to do at all. This is the only thing I really know how to do. And, I mean, people that get radio, they get in it for the love of radio, not for money, and that's why I did it. And eventually, I mean, love doesn't pay my bills. I can't go to my apartment complex and go, but I got a lot of love.
Yeah.
Can I stay?
No, sure cannot.
Unfortunately, some stuff happened here at the radio station where my paycheck isn't going to be as big as it has been in the past.
Were you making millions before that?
I wasn't making millions. I was making just enough to keep above water. And eventually it turned into, oh, God, there's now too much water. And I had to go kind of look around for something else. And I was offered a position at a company with somebody that I know who decided, you know, I think you got what it takes to work here. So.
And are you I know that leaving radio is scary, and so you're dealing with that.
Yes.
But how are you feeling about the new job?
It's an interesting challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something I haven't done before. I've never done any marketing kind of stuff. I've never been an assistant to anybody or anything like that. And that's where I'll be starting out as. So it's a different animal than what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a little difficult at first, but I think I'll make the best of it.
Yeah. But I mean, are you excited at all?
I am excited. It's a new opportunity. It's a chance to actually make money where I can. And I keep bringing it back to the money because sadly that's what led me here. It's an opportunity where I can do a little better than what I was doing. I mean, my father was helping me out for a long time on just getting my bills paid, and he's 57 years old. He needs to be enjoying what he does instead of helping me try to chase the dream that I have. So I got to a place where now I can pay my own bills and he can kind of relax a little bit.
So when you talk about money, how much have you been making? Like, is it just not?
Because we all know he's part-time.
Yeah,
right?
I'm part-time and full-time. I was told full-time is not something that's going to happen to me. And then my hours were adjusted here. And it was adjusted enough where it decided it was going to be taking a decent amount out of my check. And I was doing, I'd say, around $600 every 2 weeks, which, I mean, that's it's not a ton of money. It's money, but
yeah, but still,
yeah, it's I mean, there are people that are working fast food that make better money than that. And
right.
The reason I never left after 7 years is because this is all I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going to ask you that. I know my sort of advice that was given to me long ago was, one, if you're in college, start working at a radio station while you're in college.
Mm-hmm.
And two, when you're in a place where you're not making a lot of money, stay there for 2 years, get your experience, and bounce.
Yeah.
So why didn't you bounce?
Because you started out in Savannah doing radio,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know what the market number there is, but the market number here is within the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place to be to gain your experience because you're gaining it at a high level.
Right.
Where I could have left, and this was something that was brought up to me right when I got hired on as an intern. I could have stayed here or I could have had the opportunity to go to Athens, Georgia, and because it's a lower market, and I would have been able to start there and go up. Where I decided I wanted to stay here because it's a higher market. It's better experience and everything I can learn there. And eventually I started making my way through the company. And so that was the reason I stayed. And I mean, within the last 4 years, because I think it was 4 years ago this week, is when 125 The Bone switched from classic rock to all talk. Mm-hmm. And right when that happened is when my career took off. And every year within the last 4 years, I've gone up a position. Going from only 4 years ago, my original job on The Bone was to teach the night host, how to run the board, and I stayed on ever since. And then it eventually worked its way up to being a morning show producer. So to leave after 2 years to me wouldn't have made much sense at the time.
Even though you were only part-time?
Yeah, even though I was only part-time, I mean, for a decent amount of time, I still lived with family, and then all my family moved away, and I eventually had to move out onto my own, and that's when things did get a little tighter, I mean, because now you're starting to pay bills and everything like that, but at the same time, I was starting to make my way a little bit, so to leave at the time wouldn't have made sense.
I wish there was someone, I don't know. I wish there was some advice that came down for people in top 20 markets who start as interns and part-timers.
Yeah.
Someone in those markets that were like, okay, you do this, but you probably should go somewhere. Yeah. Do you regret not going to a smaller market to go full-time somewhere and then move your way up that way? Or are you like, I think I made the right choice.
No, I think I did make the right choice because I've had people reach out to me since I... But to peel it back a little bit, there's on Facebook, there's private groups, and all three of us were in a private group of other radio people across the country. Mm-hmm. And I put it out there to them first that this was happening. I haven't put it out on my own Facebook. I literally actually just now when we started the podcast at around noonish, I put it out on Twitter to people like, hey, guess what? I'm leaving. But I put it out to them first on Facebook, and I had a couple people reach out to me going, hey, this is... This is an opportunity that's ahead of you. Send me your stuff. So, and that's something that probably wouldn't have happened if I went to another market and started out lower and had to work my way back up to where I'm at or back up to here. And I've had opportunities from the market I'm going to have had somebody say something to me going, hey, let's talk when you get here. And that's kind of stuff that I don't think would have happened if I like went down and then had to come back up. I don't think it would happen as fast.
It's always interesting to sort of see the different pipeline that people go through to get to success. And it's different for everyone. And there's no tried and true way to make it happen because Holly and I took, you know, one way going to smaller markets, working our way up to a big market, then back to a smaller market, and then back to a big market.
You got to do what you got to do.
You do. And at the end of the day, that is what it comes down to, is that after Holly and I lost our jobs here in Tampa the first time and I went back to Panama City, our agent, he told me flat out I was killing my career. I believe that was his quote. I remember I was driving on Omerton in Tampa, and I pulled into the subway right there, and I sat there as he told me that I was ruining my career, that I would never be able to make it out of Panama City, that I would die there, basically. And I just knew in my soul that that was the right decision to make, that I had to go back to hone my skills. So you have to follow your gut, and you have to do that because that will ultimately, hopefully, get you to the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we wish you well.
I appreciate it. I'm looking at other ventures in radio of like doing promotions. Like I said, I had somebody reach out to me at the market I'm going to. And it's somebody that I have a ton of respect for. It's one of my mentors in the business. So, the way I kind of put it out there on Twitter, because I released like an announcement there, was I'm not leaving for good. I'm just turning my mic off for now, is the way I'm looking at it. Mm. So,
well put, sir. Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah, I do like that. I mean, we've all like had to kind of. I keep saying like rally the wagons, but it's true. Like you have to kind of sit back for a minute and go, okay, how do I do this? How do I make this work? And it includes stuff like that sometimes.
Are you excited to make some money?
I am. I mean, at the expense I'm having to take to do it, no, not at all.
Yeah.
I cried my eyes out in our boss's office the other day.
Did you really?
I did. Because this is not what I want to do. I do not want to leave.
What did he do when you cried?
Yeah.
Was it dramatic?
No. I mean, he just...
Did he hand you some tissues?
He did not.
Like, did you start snotting up?
No, I didn't. I don't believe there's any tissues in his office.
No.
So.
Our boss, I love him so much, not the type to have tissues in the office.
No. Not a tissue kind of guy.
A huggy, gather around the carpet, feel like.
Did he tell you to dry your eyes up, pussy?
Oh. No. He told me just like, you know, sit down on the couch, relax for a second, get into a good headspace. Let's talk.
So did you just like walk in and start crying?
I didn't walk in and start crying, but as soon as I handed him the paper, he knew what it was, and I went, I'm not wanting to do this. And that's literally what I said to him, is like, I don't want to be standing here doing this right now. This bothers me a ton because this is not what I want. This is not what I want at all. And like, I can feel my voice cracking now.
I know.
Because I don't want to do this.
Right. So is it literally just that you need the money to do?
Absolutely. I can't pay my bills right now.
And that's just life. Yeah. The reality of it. Yeah. I mean, when you're like, what am I going to do? Go homeless?
Yeah.
What? I mean, you can give up a lot for your love of a career, but this career does not love you back in that way.
It doesn't. No, at all. And one of the things like I put in that big Facebook message to all of our other radio people is like, and somebody I know out of Chicago like quoted my line because they said it was very impactful, was, I'm leaving the only thing that made me feel like I really mattered. And that's honestly what this feels like. Like, I'm literally having my career ripped away from me is what it feels like right now.
Well, but I think that you need to feel those feelings, obviously, and go through the whole thing. But I think you can't think about it like that because you're basically acting like you keep saying you're just turning the mic off for a minute, but you're basically putting in your head that this is it.
To me, it does feel like it is it.
But you can't do that. Otherwise, it will be for you because like you put into your space that you're like, well, that's it. Like, this is just for now. You know what I mean? And I think you have to tell yourself at least that this is part of your, like, let's say, 3-year plan.
It is.
And also, I think something that I learned when I took, you know, those 6 months off, when we were let
go.
They were given to us.
They said, please take some time for yourself. I said, okay, I'll get pregnant.
Technically, it was 7 months because I was off for January.
It was more than that for me, thanks.
Yeah, Holly was out a little bit longer.
Sat on my ass for like 9 months.
But I think the thing that I realized is that I am a person outside of radio. Because since I was in high school, I mean, remember, I started doing radio stuff in high school. I've always been Miguel, the radio guy, and that was my identity forever. And so when all of a sudden you don't have that, because that was always my ace card, like when I was single and I would talk to guys on Tinder and Grindr, and it would get to the point of like, what do you do for a living? I always couldn't wait for them to ask me that, to be like, well, I work in radio, and it's not for like the fame part, but just because it's a cool job that people are like, wow, that's really interesting, and they ask me questions about, because I always felt like I wasn't interesting enough outside of my job. Those 6 months that I didn't, I actually had to find something else to talk about other than, well, I used to work in radio. Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
I had to find out, who is Miguel Fuller? What makes
outside
him tick?
Outside of radio.
Outside of radio. What am I interested in? What are my passions? And then that led me into my own morning show, which then since I had a firm grasp finally of who I was, that opened up the door for me to get my own show and then to have the vision of where to take it. And so don't look at it as this door is closing and that you're done. Look at it as a time for you to sort of take a step back, recalibrate, who is Jared Day? Not who is Nervous Jared, not who is Producer Jared. Who is Jared Day? What are your passions? What do you want to do with
because
your life?
You also
what legacy?
Have to have passions outside of radio. Like,
you do.
Even like
That's
Dave
true.
Ryan and like the greats, they all have stuff outside of radio, which I'm lacking in. I have none. But I
Holly's
feel
been
like
trying to find that for years.
I'm trying to find myself. All of my stuff is Radio Holly. So I'm falling into your category, Jared. Mm-hmm. But like this, I'm trying, especially now post-divorce, to find out what I like best.
Yeah.
And I like to do that on my own and then rope other people in.
Right.
I've always been that way. So I agree with Miguel. Like, you make a good point.
Yeah, and I'm much like you. I started in this business at 18 years old, so my identity is this. Like, I don't know who I am outside of this.
Right.
So it is a little bit difficult, and that's why it to me it's sort of scary going into something that I don't know anything about. I'm just lucky enough to know people that believe in what I can do. So it is difficult, but at the same time, like, I am still trying to keep my name in the business or keep my foot in the business.
Yeah.
By doing, just getting into, I've reached out to a bunch of people already that are up there and in different ways of, whether they're in promotions, handing out bumper stickers and stuff like that, or all the way to a guy who's a morning show host. So, it's been, to me, it's an interesting ride. I'm not abandoning everything, but I feel like I'm being positioned to at the moment.
And so I really do feel like life puts you where you need to be, and it's how you react to it, and it's how you take that and work on it, and because you're in the driver's seat of your life.
Yeah.
And so life happens to you, and that's okay, but you have to also take it and then do something with it, mm-hmm. because anyone can easily, with any industry, get fired and get let go, or as you say, like, be positioned in a place where you can't make the ends meet, and you're like, well,
I gotta
like,
pick something else.
Yeah. You know, but you have to take it and say, what can I take away from this? Our co-host that we worked with, Holly and I, Kramer, he was out for almost, I think, a year. He was out longer than you were until he got that job in Phoenix.
Yeah.
He was out for a long time.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say what he did is he went into another industry altogether.
He did. That's the point I was getting to, is that he went into social media, and it was very scary for him because he had all these responsibility
and
for producing a product.
And he didn't think he was ever going to get back into radio.
No,
and
he
thought
he was
done. Really great at radio. Like, yeah. As much as we've had our differences, mm-hmm. like, I believe him to be a brilliant radio brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, I can't do it. Oh, man, Christopher's calling me.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. You can walk out and take it if you need to.
Just hold on a minute. I don't know. I never know what it's about. It might be about Maya. I don't know.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. But I think that you have to – that's Holly's ex-husband, by the
yes.
way, that's calling her. But you have to sort of take it and do what you can to mold the rest of your life. And that's sort of what he did, because you're going to learn so many valuable lessons. Stepping away from radio – And listening to it as a consumer, it's going to be so refreshing. So when you do, not if you do, but
yes.
when you do get back into radio, you're going to come into it with like fucking, sorry. Let me just hold on.
Moment. Now.
It's a lightning hockey commercial from the Dove. You are going to have so much fire under your butt that you're just going to want to burn it up and tear it up. And so that's exciting to see what's going to happen after the fact.
And I think that's one of the things where people have noticed that to me that as hard as I'm taking it, it's not that I'm not just letting this happen to me
mm-hmm.
By crying my eyes out. And literally throwing my heart out to people that don't even know me. It's you're noticing, or at least I'm not hiding the fact that this is something I love, and that's I guess that's what I'm putting out there to people. Is I mean, mm-hmm. it sucks that what's happening, but as much as I'm throwing it out there, I'm not accepting this. And
right.
by not accepting this, I think it shows to people that, you know, this is really what my passion is.
Well, I'm excited for you. I know it doesn't seem like this is something to be excited about, but being able to start on a different journey and gain some experience. And here's another thing that I learned is when I wanted to host, I've always wanted to host my own morning show. And I remember when I was a little baby DJ, and one of my program directors early on in the day, he said that you're too young to host your own morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I took that as like, you're not good enough. But what that really meant was you have to get life experience. You have to
sure.
go through heartbreak. You have to go through failure. You have to go through all these things to then be relatable to people. So when I think about who I was at 22,
mm-hmm.
and if I tried to get on a big old radio station to host a morning show and act like I had something to say, like, bitch, you don't know nothing.
No, you really don't know shit.
You don't know. I mean, I don't know nothing now, and I'm 30 years old.
Well, so, at least you know a little bit.
A little bit, but I couldn't imagine. So take this as a time for you to figure out
of course.
Who you are, and you'll grow and be better after it.
It is, and it's scary though, because even like when I moved from Ohio to Florida, like granted, I was still going into radio, like I was just a wreck because it was a life change. Like
mm-hmm.
that was a corner that I was turning, because I was literally leaving all my friends and family, like everything I had ever known, and I was taking a huge gamble, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know these people. I cried and cried and cried and cried, but it's we talk about this sometimes. We do graduation speeches, and yes. I sort of feel like this is like one of those moments of mm-hmm. graduation speech. This is your precipice that you have to take the leap over. Mm-hmm. It's like the going to be the defining moment in your life where, you know what? Everything is a crazy mess right now, but it may be the best thing that's ever happened, and you can hopefully turn it into something great back in radio just by taking a second.
And yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I mean, I've heard from so many people, and I'm so grateful for that. But and everybody's had like different like just opinions and outlets that I can go into, and it's a lot to learn, but it's also a lot to take in right now.
Yeah,
so.
It is.
And it'll take time to sort of digest everything. But just know that it will all come in time.
Yes.
It's a lot that you're going through. So I feel for you. I don't like being in those moments sure. of like crazy uncertainty. I went through a lot in my life the past year, so I know how that feels on your inside. So I don't envy that feeling, but I am excited for you. I truly am.
If anyone wants to contact you with your personal email address, do you want to give that out?
I mean, the easiest way to actually get a hold of me is all through all the social stuff. I mean, okay. I'm on there constantly. I'm checking my phone every 2 seconds, so
yeah.
it's easy to find me on any of those. I mean, Twitter's probably the easiest thing if anybody wants to do that. It's @NervousJared. I'm probably not going to change that for a little while. I mean, I didn't change it once I got over here, so... And I mean, that's also one of those things of having to realize who you really are. Mm-hmm. I'll keep that for now, but that's probably not going to stay the same forever. So
it's an exciting time. It's scary, but it's exciting. Mm-hmm. Holly, real quick before we go.
Yeah.
You were in a wedding this past weekend.
I was.
How was that?
Oh, it was great. Like, aside from the freak snowstorm, which apparently Cleveland, I was in Cleveland for it, and this was my best friend getting married, and Cleveland had a very mild winter. They didn't really get a lot of snow at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest storm of the year happened the night before her wedding. So aside from that unexpected tidbit, which we all just kind of worked around, it was really great. It's different now that I'm older and we're doing weddings, because I was like, maybe there's going to be someone I can make out with at the wedding.
Yeah.
There was not.
No.
There was not anyone. Like, literally. And there was, I have a single friend who also went to college. We went to college together, and she was one of my best girlfriends from when we used to go out in Findlay back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the wedding, and so we got caught up, and she's like, so, guess we're not going to be having any, like, you know, naughty fun today.
Oh.
I was like, no, it doesn't look like it. So we just had like a little girls' night and at the wedding, and I helped my friend Jessica, who got married, celebrate the best I could. Like, I was trying to be super on it as maid of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful wedding. So it just was what it was.
How would you rate yourself as a maid of honor from 1 to 10?
Who I I guess I'd give myself a 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know where I would have effed up at all.
What if we called her? Would she say that?
I hope so.
She's in school, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she. What is it, Friday? Thursday?
No, it's Thursday.
What day is it? Yeah, she's in
school. When did she take a lunch break?
I don't know. You could text her, maybe.
Hold on, let me text her real quick and see.
Okay.
I'm really curious to see what she said. We should have did this bit on the air.
Oh, it was always tomorrow.
That's true. Jessica.
You have her number?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
Why do you have her number?
Are you busy? Can you talk for 2 minutes? I want to know how you were. Can you talk for 2 minutes? And the reason why I ask...
I had, by the way, we talked about this on the air. I had a bomb ass kit put together.
Oh, yeah. What was this kit?
Between the two of us, we had everything ready to go. Like, I bought Goody's BC powder, you know, which is like the South kind of a thing.
Yes.
Everybody up north was like, is this crack? Like, no, it's for headaches.
Kind of wish it was.
Excedrin, and it was just like a sewing kit and hand warmers. Because it was snowing, and I was like, here's something, and we didn't use them. I think we used literally nothing in that bag, by the way. Like, I had hand sanitizer, and...
Wait, but doesn't that mean we should deduct points off of you being a maid of honor if the thing that you created that was, like, your crowning achievement wasn't even used?
No, I think that's a good thing, that it wasn't used. You don't want to have to use the emergency kit. It's like, hey...
But I feel like that's a test, though.
No, yeah. No. Do you want to use your seat as a life flotation device on an airplane?
No.
No. You
but,
don't, but it's good
yeah,
that it's there.
Yes, if there are so many tears that the wedding is that beautiful that you have to take out the seat and as a flotation device, then yes. No. That is exactly what should have been done.
No, but we did, well, we did use the Kleenex. I gave her some Kleenex. Mm-hmm. Okay. She didn't have lipstick. Oh. Like, her makeup person didn't give her lipstick. So before, like, some was still on for the ceremony, but then I applied her lipstick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As we were taking pictures, I lifted up that dress every time, because think about it, it's wet, there's snow, it's now dirty snow. I was in charge of literally holding her dress the entire day, basically.
Oh, wow.
Held the dress. I bustled it with her sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and I gave the speech, which she said it was good. I mean, I had bullet points. I didn't have a whole thing written out, but I felt...
What was the speech about?
I started off the speech saying, remember the phrase, love is patient, because you know that they have the, in the, I'm not sure what Bible phrase, but Bible verse it is, but the Bible verse is like, love is patient, love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's remember love is patient. And then I told a personal story about how when I first met her, freshman year of college, her goal was to meet someone to marry in college so that when she started her teaching career, she could already have her new last name and she wouldn't have to change it.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, girl. So, and then I was like, needless to say, that didn't happen. So that got some chuckles.
Hi, you were single forever, Jessica. Oh. You dumb bitch.
Oh.
Like, I see, I always feel like those sort of, when you bring up old memories, it could go either way. Like, it could be like, ah, that was funny. Or it's like, remember when you were single and nobody liked you?
Wow. Well, hopefully people didn't think that. but the whole point, and then, you know, I said how, because I literally met her now husband the day before the wedding. Have never met him before.
Oh, and how long have they been together?
Almost 2 years.
Did you like him?
Yeah, I did. He's very nice. Yes, he's very nice.
Is he interesting?
He is very, because he's like a country guy, which is weird. You don't find those in Cleveland a lot. But he's like a, they have a duck dynasty. What's it called? Like a foot, you clean your feet off?
Oh,
mat?
Yeah.
Right.
To keep their boots on. I was like, what's this?
Does he like black people?
She goes, just don't ask about that.
Does he like gay people?
I'm sure.
If he likes Duck Dynasty,
I don't know if I like this guy. I was a little nervous, but he's very nice. And he has a kid.
Oh, so your friend's becoming a stepmother.
Yeah.
Wow. And she doesn't have any kids.
Nope.
How has that been?
I brought that into the conversation, but by the way, the speech ended where I was like, it took however many years since I met her, for her to find her soulmate. And I'm so glad that she did, because this is the perfect guy for her. So love is patient. And then I turned it into like how they need to have patience for each other, and it's going to be beautiful, and how we can, anyway, I thought it was good. So what now? What was your question?
I already forgot.
Oh, he has the kid?
The kid. Oh, yes. Yeah, the kid. How old is kid?
6.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. And does he have primary custody?
Pretty much, because apparently, well, I don't want to get too many into their business, but the custody is split, but they end up with the daughter more often than not.
How does your, well, I'm sure the aunt, hold on, let me ask a different way.
I can see you're doing the finger thing right now. Why?
I don't know, because it's not really my place to tell that story. You know what I mean? So I want to be careful about what I
the
say.
The details, of course.
Especially since there is a child involved.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that then.
Right. It's going to be a test. And I will say this, like, for anyone going into that situation, I'm sure it's a test. And it scares me. Maybe that's why the finger thing is happening, because now I'm in that situation. I don't even like to call myself a
You're single
parent.
You're a single mom.
You are.
Single mom.
I'm single and I have a child.
Single mom.
Okay, thank you. But so I know that she's had some struggles with it, and I imagine that anybody going into that situation would.
It's hard.
And I'm like, good for her.
I mean, I'll tell you, I wasn't strong enough to do that. I thought I was. I mean, there were some other things at play. I talked to a guy in the fall who had a kid, and there were a lot of things at play, but when someone told me drunkenly, they were like, you realize this person has a kid, so you'll never be number one.
That's what she says, too.
And I was like, ooh. And then that sort of, like, that didn't bother me, but then it started to seep into everything, and it ended up becoming one of the issues. There was other things that went into play there, but I kept thinking about that all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know how much of an attention hog I am.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. I don't want to try, and I don't want to ask anyone to take attention from their child from fucking me. Like,
it's
a
hard thing.
It is. So I couldn't do
it. So I'm just going to be single forever, you guys.
No, not at all. But see, cool. But you'll find someone who wants to do that. Like, obviously, dating someone like me with, like, that's not going to work. So I'm going to be like, it's me, y'all. It's Miguel's show. Even at home, like,
oh my god,
obviously you wouldn't date someone like me, but there's someone out there who would be like, I would love to be a supporting cast member in the Holly show with Maya.
Oh my gosh.
And like, that's gonna happen.
Such a scary prospect.
It is. but it'll happen.
I know. I worry about my ex too, and like what he gets into, because he is a single father. Right. So. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot. But anyway, so she's dealing with it, I think, the best she can, and so far it looks like it's going well. And I think she can be a good role model for this little girl, as much as one can be.
Right.
And she's looking forward to having. They're looking forward to having kids of their own too. So they'll have a family pretty soon. Wow. A bigger family. Man, that's such a tough call.
That is
going into with a child situation.
Because I thought I'd be fine with it, but once my friend told me that, and I was like,
I dated a guy with a kid once. That was a horrible relationship, anyway.
Right.
But I originally turned him down because he wanted to date me, and I was like, "Oh, you have a kid? Nope."
No. Mm-hmm.
I was like, "No," but then also I was younger,
right?
And If I was like single right now with no kid, I would say no kids, please, on dating apps. Mm. I would put myself in that box because that's scary.
It's a lot. It's scary.
And I think it's just that's why I don't really ever want to do dating sites or like a Match.com or Tinder or whatever, because you already have a preconceived notion about what you want and what you don't want. And if like let's just say I like. Saw somebody every single, like I saw somebody at work every day and I got to know them as a person. And originally I had been like, no kids. And then like, I got to know them and I started really liking them and they liked me or whatever. I'd be like, maybe I can make the exception now because I know you, but I would not find a stranger with a kid.
I don't know, but I always feel like when you start shopping around where you are,
Let me just take that away. I'm not saying like I'm trying to find somebody at work, but what I'm saying is like if I got to know somebody, like say I'm at the coffee shop every day or whatever.
But I mean, just in reality, I mean, your social world isn't that big. I mean, it's not like unless you plan on dating a listener, like you don't have a big group of people that you associate with that you go out with.
Oh, well.
And so I feel like that might help you at least. Just tread the waters a little bit.
It could help a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. And plus, I feel like I don't really trust people right now. I don't know.
That's fair.
That's understandable.
You're out of a divorce, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while for you to even start really wanting that. I feel like now it's just a thought. It's like, not something that you're like, ooh, I want.
I want it in theory.
Right.
I don't think I want it in practice.
No. Like, can you imagine right now having to juggle someone else's emotions outside of dealing with your mom, your daughter, your ex-husband, and then every now and then me? Like,
that's why I'm leaving.
That's what Jared says. Fuck that shit.
Oh.
Oh, that
what?
Is rude.
Oh, I'm sorry. You say you just don't. Oh.
Jesus.
Okay.
So it's a lot to deal with, but you'll get there at some point.
I guess.
Wow. All right, well, on that note.
A lot of uncertainty here on The Miguel Show, folks.
Actually, let me say this, because it's something that you said to me at the beginning. Holly said to me.
Oh, I said something
not
really
always
inspiring.
About you.
Damn it.
You said that I'm kind of taking things as if I'll never get back into radio again.
Mm-hmm.
And when Miguel just said that, you went, I guess, when it came to being in the dating world again.
Yeah.
Too much like what you said to me, you can't put yourself in that box.
Oh, Jared just scored you, bitch! Yes! Bitch, where? 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 Go, Jared! Go, Jared!
No, I am
go
literally Jared. Going. No, it's no, I'm
Jared's
literally
probably
going.
Probably for that reason, because he's so sick of us.
Bitch, where?
Yeah, okay. Okay, but, like, for me, it's not like... I know that it's my life's goal. Like,
of course.
Much like yours is to be in radio, like, my life's goal has, I guess, never been to be with someone. My mom always was like, Holly, damn it, that's a bonus. Like, not everybody gets the bonus. So I've tried to train myself that it's a bonus. Gotta take care of yourself.
I mean, I agree, but that's just...
Of course that's what I want.
Of course
I want
everybody
it.
Everybody wants it.
That's what everybody wants. But I just, much like Jared, I can't see it. So I'll get there.
Well, with that being said, it's a bonus if you find someone, so you may be alone for the rest of your life.
Good luck.
Oh.
We'll leave you with...
You better take care of yourself, though. That's the point.
There you go.
Go make your money.
All right, we are done. You can find The Miguel Show Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, on the Hot 101.5 app, and now on iTunes. Just search The Miguel Show Uncensored.
We fancy.
We fancy, girl. Producer Jared, what's all of your contact info?
It is Nervous Jared on Twitter and Instagram, Producer Jared on Snapchat.
Holly?
Mine's Radio Holly for everything.
Mine is Miguel Fuller. Bye.